Today's guest is a public speaking expert. Her name is Lisa Reed, and in her first year as a speaker, she got 83 gigs booked. 83. And after that, of course, everybody was saying, how did you do that? How did you get so many gigs in your first year? So now she helps other people do the same. In this episode, we talked about how you can create your signature talk, which is essentially boiling down all of your knowledge into a bite-sized thing that you can deliver on podcasts, when you're guesting on shows and on stages and whatever. She also talked about how she helps her clients prepare for getting invited onto shows as a guest, like having some questions ready that the host can ask them and a bunch of things like that. And on top of that, she shares a great strategy on how to manage all the shows that you're going on to, how to save time when you're applying because there's all these different questions and things. She has a really easy strategy that you can use to save time when applying to these shows. I really liked it. I'm definitely going to employ it. Just before we get going, as always, I want to invite you into my free community for podcasters. I give away everything in there. It is all about giving. I expect nothing back. You can talk to me in there if you have questions about your show. I'm literally there answering DMs all the time. The link for that will be in the show notes right below. Let's get into this episode. Okay, Lisa, welcome to Oh My Pod. I'm so happy to be talking to somebody who's an expert speaker because I have never had anybody on to talk about that. So you were the first. Welcome and thank you for being here.
Oh, I'm so honored. I get to be the first. Yay.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually scheduling with my mom because my mom is an opera singer and she trained at Juilliard. And so part of her like training was she learned how to speak in Italian, how to speak in Spanish, how to sing in all these different languages. And there was so much dialect coaching and so much like pronunciation and all these different things that she learned. So funny, like just as I was talking with her, I'm like, oh, I actually am just having someone on for speaking now, but then I'm going to bring her on as well and talk about like, you know, other stuff with like diaphragm support and stuff like that. But yeah, so thank you for being here. And the first thing that I want to ask you and what I ask everybody is I just want to hear in your words what you do, who you are. And so just take a minute and just give people like an idea of why they should trust what you say about speaking, essentially.
Sure. Well, who I am, I'm Lisa Reed, founder of Get Speaking Gigs Now and the CEO of the International Speaker Network. What do I do and why do I do it? I work with entrepreneurs who have a deep calling or deep desire to use public speaking as a way to market their business and attract their ideal clients. I think there's a lot of us out there who have always dreamed of doing that, whether it was from childhood or later on in life, but for whatever reason, the dominoes just weren't lined up appropriately. And they've now come to a point where they're like, you know what? I'm going to do that thing. And I also often refer to myself as a teacher disguised as a speaker, because I think at one point you're like, I have a lot of things I can teach people. And that seems a little less scary for anyone. A lot of times people say speaking, oh, I'm scared of it, or, you know, afraid of it and have phobias and there's all these jokes about it. But the honest truth is that's usually childhood stuff that we can really overcome really easily when we have a message to share. And all of a sudden the message gets bigger than our fear. So I'm that person. I'm not like a dialect coach or anything like that. But what I am is, how do we take your expertise and shrink it down so it's valuable nuggets for that audience, and then give them that next step to work with you or to connect with you or whatever that thing is, so that you can start working with people that you really love and do it in a way that feels fulfilling instead of soul sucking.
I have a lot of questions that I thought up while you were saying that. And when you said that there's jokes about public speaking, I don't even know if it's a joke. It's funny that it's true, but when people ranked the worst fears, it was death number two and public speaking number one. So the first thing that I would ask you is, and the reason why I say this is because it's relevant to podcasting as well. Speaking on podcasts and having your own podcast, something that like scares the crap out of a lot of people. And for me, I sort of take it for granted because I've been performing a long time, but public speaking in person for me is actually, it is quite scary, I will say. But what do you do with people who have a deep, deep fear of speaking in public? What is the strategy to actually get them to open up?
Interesting. I don't actually work with a lot of those folks because I'm not an arm twister. Like, speaking is not for everyone. And I completely accept and understand that. Just like social media isn't for everyone. Not everyone likes it, even though it's accessible to all of us, right? So I don't try to find people who are terrified and then help them overcome that. Usually someone will go to Toastmasters or maybe hypnosis or something like that. If they have to speak and they can't get around it and they really want to overcome that. But it doesn't mean that people who I work with don't have certain fears, concerns, nervousness. And that's what I call speaker's kryptonite. It's like very unique to that person. And it could sound like, oh, I'm still working on my talk, or I'm creating more content. I'm not really sure where I'm going to go speak. I don't really know if like it'll work, or like, how would I sell? Like, there's all these kind of unanswerable questions that keep us from, and that same thing can happen in podcasting. So it's like, how do we have the right conversation with ourselves so that we know that's happening? And then we can, you know, okay, let me hear that part of myself. It's kind of like the little kid in us. Let's talk to the little kid, invite it over for tea, and then say, you know, it's okay. I got you. We're gonna be fine. We're gonna be okay. Whatever it is you need to tell yourself. And then we move forward.
Yeah, cool. I love that. And yeah, like Toastmasters or wherever you can get, you know, practice in is great. I think for a lot of people, they would do more things like speaking if they didn't have some type of phobia. And so for those people, when they are almost being called to do it, yet it's only fear that's stopping them. That's something where, yeah, I know what you mean though. There's people who they just don't want to do it. They're just not called to do it. They don't, and that's totally fine too. But one of my questions also was, what type of speaking engagements are you helping your clients get? Because in my mind, I think about podcasters, and I think about all of my people who I help and all the people that I work with. And I just think, man, these people would love to get invited to places to speak about these things. That's why they have a podcast. So like, where are you getting, like, what does your process look like for getting people onto speaking engagements?
Well, so to be clear, I'm not a booker. What I am is someone who, I don't know, you'll appreciate this analogy, but I like to teach you how to fish versus feed you a fish. That's my approach. Not that you won't ever get fed a fish, but to me, it's more empowering, especially as an entrepreneur. We're trying to do all the things and all the stuff and have a business and serve our clients. And we're just trying to. So I'm like, how can we make it easier for you to do what you love? You got to do sales and marketing. Might as well figure out a way to do it. And I think there's a lot of, I would say, misunderstanding in the speaking world because we think, oh, I've got to be Tony Robbins, or, you know, we go right to the tippy top. And then we think, oh, I can't do that. Well, you don't need to be Tony Robbins or any other famous, you know, celebrity speaker in order to use speaking. It's a really cool approach because it's a level playing field. And when I work with someone, we start to develop what's their actual recipe for success. It's not the same for everyone. For example, I've got a client who has decades of corporate experience, high-level corporate leadership. So he's really comfortable and he works with executives in high-level spots. So he's really comfortable speaking in corporate settings, in high-level settings. He just got off a speaking engagement at a prestigious university because that's his comfort zone and that makes sense for his business. So we're going to target that area a little bit more and figure out for him what makes sense, like what organizations, what associations, what conventions, what conferences. How does he tap into his Rolodex to like make those things happen? He literally just announced on LinkedIn that this was yesterday, and he had like 95 responses. And this was his first like, okay, I'm tearing off the bandaid. I'm a speaker now. And he put his stuff out there, which is super cool. So on the complete other end of the spectrum, I have a client who lives in the middle of nowhere. She is not interested in corporate. That terrifies her. She's more on the woo-woo side and she helps people with their vibration and she's really successful and really good. But being on camera is scary for her. And so her audience is going to be completely different. It might be women's groups. She's going to need to speak virtually because she's in the middle of nowhere. So her strategy is totally different. And that's what's cool. I think it gets confusing as an entrepreneur if you're like, I want to be a speaker, and you start Googling and you're just instantly overwhelmed, confused, not sure what's good, what's bad. How do you get? So I help navigate all that. And we just clear it so that you're certain and clear about what you're doing, what you're saying yes to, what you're saying no to, where should you be focusing? I think that's really empowering.
Yeah, of course. And the other thing that you said earlier, which I think is really relevant to podcasting, is that idea of, like, you know, you take this person who has this incredible story and all these, you know, so much expertise and all these things that they're so good at, and then kind of boiling that down into a story that is, it's almost like it's, you know, in a way, it's kind of like almost like marketing their story in like a way that it's not this massive thing, but it's bite-sized. It kind of has a hook. People are like, oh, like that guy was, for instance, I think of my friend who was a monk for 5 years and now runs a super successful business. Like, that's his hook, right? Monk for 5 years. They're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. So how do you go about taking somebody's story, like somebody's expertise and all that, and making it into that talk? Because I think that for people also, if they want to go onto a podcast as a guest, even, you know, first of all, there's being on the podcast where that's important, but just to be invited to higher level podcasts, the one thing that needs to be in place is a super dialed in story of what, you know, who you are and how. So how do you, you know, like you said, you kind of make their big story into this small digestible piece of speaking.
It's interesting. I love hearing your perspective. And I heard your podcast episode with your friend who sounds amazing. And so I think of it as a little bit different. When I work with someone initially, I call it, we get your talk ready to rock, right? Like, we're going to pull at least three valuable nuggets from whatever it is that you do, and it's going to relate to your audience. It might be a story. It might be a case study. It might be an exercise. It might be knowledge or myths or things like that. So this is where, again, it's not exactly the same for every single person. Because if I suggested to a client, oh, I want you to share this deep, vulnerable story or whatever the story is, and they're uncomfortable, guess what? They're never going to get on stage. So sometimes we just start with, I always say, like, let's start with what you could do right now. And then you're always going to be evolving and growing as a speaker, number one. Now, with that, yes, part of who you are and what you do is going to come into play, because it's going to come into your introduction. It's going to come into your bio. It's going to be on your speaker page. It's going to be on your website. So, and if you're going to be on podcast, you need to be able to, you know, really say that concisely. And eventually you get more versions of your introduction, more versions of your bio. You've got, like, if you look at mine, I've got like so many versions of intros and short 99 words and 25 characters, whatever, and, you know, all the different versions of that. In terms of podcasting, though, I think a nice way to translate that, when they get their talk ready to rock, they have those nuggets, those pieces that they're going to share. Then they can repurpose that into questions that they give the podcast interviewer. And so they're not constantly, when I had one of my clients, she keeps constantly creating, before she was working with me, recreating talks and recreating everything and recreating. And I'm like, stop, like, you are making it so hard and you're working so hard. Like, we need to land on the thing, land on the main message, and then repurpose it everywhere you go. And yes, you have more knowledge. We know that. But we got to make some decisions to make your life easier.
That's great. I love the tough love thing. I'm the same way. And I think even, you know, as a speaker, as a business and whatever you're doing, podcast or two, like, your message does change and adapt as you go along. And so it's part of being flexible. But I like how you say, it's like, you know, even though there are all these amazing things that you do, it's like, let's make it into something that is, you know, let's just pick a few things and then do that. And the repurposing thing. So then when you have this, you know, this thing that you're talking about, this, like, whether it's your story or just different things that are just interesting to talk about, and you have your kind of your talk that's ready to rock now, then when you go on to podcasts and everything, something you said is you can give the host suggested questions to ask you, which as a host is like, like, what an awesome... Yeah. But even from there, then the host can understand, okay, well, if I can ask that question, then I will make a spin on it and I can ask something similar. And so I love that. Now, you also, you know, your clients that you're working with, it makes sense for them to also go and speak on podcasts, because that's just another speaking engagement. So something that you wrote when you were answering our intake questions was, like, using the podcast episodes that you go on on your website, on your social media, your email list, and all these things. So how do you go about doing that?
Yeah. So this is where, again, and you work with entrepreneurs too. I think we're all creating an empire and we can see this whole thing and we want it done yesterday, right? So I don't want to like freak anyone out like, oh my gosh, I have to go do all this stuff. It takes time. Just give yourself grace for all this to evolve because, you know, I didn't just do this all overnight. But when you're on a podcast episode, I'm huge into organizing so that I can save time later. So for example, when you send me the link for this site, and I'll just go right into the nuts and bolts of it. I have that, the date, I have your name, I have the name of the show, all in an Excel sheet. It's in my CRM as well. And then when you send me the link of the episode, I'm going to put that in there as well. Because then when I get around to like updating my website again, you know, maybe I'm going to add some more podcasts. I'm going to pull some. I don't add them all the time. I just kind of wait for a few and then I'll add some more. But I'll also send it to my team. They can then incorporate it into our promo calendar. Because one thing that's great about podcasts is they're evergreen. You might not hear it today or when it lands, but you might hear it 6 months from now. I don't know. I don't know. I have people all the time reaching out to me saying, oh, I heard your show. I heard you on a show. And I'm thinking, wow, that was a really long time ago.
Yeah, I get the same thing. And it's so incredible to know that you're planting seeds everywhere, right? So just briefly, because my audience likes the nuts and bolts like a lot, and I do too. So the CRM that you have, like for every show that you've been on, this is something that I'm going on more podcasts too. I've been on like quite a few now. I want to do what you're talking about. So what does the CRM actually look like? Like the nuts and bolts.
Oh yeah, sure. So for those, I'll just say like, for those of you who don't know what a CRM is, let's just even explain that because sometimes I have clients who are like, what's it? So there's different, it's an acronym, which could stand for different things, but typically it's like a client relationship manager. It's basically a software. There's free to very expensive. Usually if you Google a CRM, whoever's paying the most money is going to be the one that pops up first. So at the base level, if you're a solopreneur, I say like use one that just you can import your contacts and you can track your activities. Think of it as you have a bunch of post-its on your desk or strings tied around your finger. Now you need to get a CRM. That is when you get a CRM. And it's going to help track your introductions. So if we get into nuts and bolts, you and I have a common friend who introduced us. We chatted. We don't know like where we're going to play together. So, but I don't want to lose sight of you. So I put you in as a contact in my system and I assign a task to it. And I say like, you know, make sure and check in because you might be on the show. Great. Okay, cool. So, or whatever it is that we talked about. And then when we book the show, that's also going to go in as a task on my CRM. It's also going on my calendar because you can't remember everything as a human being. There's too many details. And so I use the CRM, not just for prospect clients, but for anytime I'm on a show, anytime I'm speaking, do I need to get the Zoom link? Like even with this, session, I was like, okay, I just want to make sure I'm on the right studio link because I don't want to be sweating bullets 2 minutes before we're supposed to be recording. Little things like that. Those can, if you don't have the right Zoom link and you're a virtual speaker, you just blew it. That little tiny detail, it's over, right? You're done. So things like that help you stay organized.
Yeah. And so when anybody, if for everybody listening, when you have people who have been on your show and you have all these guests who have been on your podcast, you don't want to lose track of those people either because you just make a note. Like, you know, down the road, you may have a person who says, hey, I'm looking for somebody to help me put my talk together. I want to do more public speaking. And if I've done 200 interviews, like I'm going to forget about all the people, right? So that is huge. And the shows that you've been on should be tracked. All of that should be tracked because, you know, it's easier to do it as you're going along than to back catalog the last 300 things that you've done later down the road. So I think that's just a good like little takeaway tip. And the other thing that I noticed about you when I invited you onto the show is you were very well prepared, which made me feel very at ease. You were like, I even saw like you went on to our YouTube, you commented on a couple of videos because you were kind of getting a vibe for the show. So that's the other thing that I'm sure you also recommend to your clients. Like that stands out, right? I've done a lot of interviews now and there are a lot of people who just don't do that. And so it makes for a better experience for sure. And the other thing that I wanted to ask you just before we wrap up here is I wanted to ask you when you work with your clients, is there anything specific that you have them put together or any specific strategy that you have them use for getting onto podcasts as a guest, or to be more likely to be accepted onto podcasts, or even just like, where are the podcasts that, like, how are they finding them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I don't start with that because a lot of times it could be a distraction if they're like, oh, okay, Pretty Lights. And so we just like, let's get your message together. And then as you start to grow, and I usually work with people for about 6 months. So that allows for, let's get all the things done. Let's get all the homework done in class and get booked while you're in the program. You don't have to wait till you're done. It's like, you can get booked the first month. But I have a podcast guide for speakers, literally, that I just create. I finally created it a couple of years ago. I'm like, okay, I just need to put us. I was actually surprised, Justin, of how many tips that were in there. I'm like, well, you want to have, I mean, there's a lot. It's, you have your intro. You want to probably have a bio because they're probably going to promote it. You want to have episode title options because I've been on podcasts where they're like, well, what do you want your episode to be called? I'm like, I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, I had that just recently and it stumped me. I was like, I don't exactly know.
Yeah, and the question, so I have everything for myself before I created the guide. I had it all in a Google Doc. I just was like, and so each time I would get asked something new that I'd never been asked before, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to write this again. I'm going to put it in the Google Doc so that I don't, and I'll write literally, I mean, I will say like, they say 75 characters, describe what you do. I will be like, I will count those characters. I mean, I'll, you know, have the tools to count it. And I will write on there 75 character intro because I'm not going to do that again. I don't want to do that work again. It's a lot of work to make it small. Questions, I will put those on there. And then sometimes I've been asked for 10 questions, which is a lot in podcasting world. I mean, that's insane. But I think it's because they think, well, what if the person doesn't have great questions? Then I want choices. Or if the conversation goes dry, like they're going to need to fill more time. So I get it, but have those questions done. You can do all that ahead of time and you can back it out based on what your talk is. So I definitely, and then having your call to action is super duper important. Otherwise, like I've had clients come to me and say, well, I just tell my phone number. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, please don't do that. Bonus tip, don't put your phone number and email on the podcast because you want to have a place where people can go check you out. People aren't doing that anymore. That's like the 1980s called, right? So we want to make it simple for people to find you.
Yeah. And I will go back to a much older episode where I talked about one strategy that my coach used where he said he went on a big podcast and he said, hey, for anybody listening, DM me the word. And then it was the name of the podcast on Instagram. And, you know, we'll have a conversation. And he got 50 DMs and then he got 10 clients, which was so that is a huge podcast, right? I'm talking 100,000 listeners per episode. But that's like, so that's something that you could do. You could send them to your Instagram with a keyword, right? And then when they come in, they're like, oh, okay, I know that came from that episode. So now I know kind of where to take the conversation from here, if that makes sense.
Yes. And you can get really automated or you can get really like kind of old school. So there's all different ways that you can really work it.
Yeah. And I also liked, because I have felt the pain of applying for, or, you know, filling in the questions for podcast interviews, like their intake forms. I have felt the pain of having to rewrite something that I knew I've done before and didn't save. I hate, like, that must be my biggest pet peeve. So having a Google Doc of everything is like a really good idea.
It's so simple. Sometimes we just make it too hard, right? It's like,
and then you just copy paste every time. I love that. That's great. So this has been awesome. I love the mix between talking about, you know, speaker strategies, because everybody who has a podcast is also a great speaker. Like that's part of the game, right? And then also the guesting stuff. This has been awesome. So where do you want people to find you?
Oh, Justin, thanks for asking. I guess. No, just kidding.
Get your phone number.
My phone number is. No, my, I would say go to getspeakinggigsnow.com/tips. Right there, you're going to get free access to the 5 top tips to get more speaking gigs now. And this is based, I've given over 600 talks, right? I stopped counting at 600. People would ask me all the time, how do you do it? How did you get on stages? Like my first year, I booked 83 gigs and people are like, what are you doing? How are you bribing people? And I thought, well, no, to me, it seemed really simple, But when I created my business, I thought, what are the top things? What do people really just need to do? Like at the base level, this is like something easy you could do. So those are the five top tips. It's at, again, I'll say it again, getspeakinggigsnow.com/tips.
Love it. That's great. Yeah, definitely go and download that after 83 in your first year. It's like you, it's funny because, you know, you do the thing and then people ask you, how'd you do that thing? And then you realize, oh, I can teach people how to do that thing. So yeah, love the way that unfolds. So thank you. Thank you so much, Lisa. This was awesome. Hey, just before you go, I'm really happy that you made it to the end of this episode. It means the world to me. I only want to ask for one thing in return for putting together all this content for free. And that's just leaving a review if you can, wherever you're listening, if it's Apple or Spotify. Just leaving a quick review is super, super helpful for us. It's going to help more people find the show so I can keep putting this content together for free. Thank you so much. And we will see you on the next episode of Oh My Pod.